Welcome to the third and final part of our special 500th edition of the podcast. In the previous episode, we left you as Richard, Zog and I were in my car heading westward out of London towards two car-related destinations that we feel are worth a pilgrimage to. London was being London. The traffic was slow. So we took the opportunity to discuss some of our favourite moments so far over the programme's long history. Zog went first.
I mean, I often find that, you know, the moments that you kind of enjoy listening to the most are things that you haven't been involved in because they're a surprise.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, your interview with Ian Callum was great.
As a designer, are you constrained by the needs of an electric platform or liberated?
Well, in the case of iPace, which is a pure electric platform, we call it a skateboard, hugely liberated. I mean, that car is the shape it is because of the electric platform. I couldn't create the shape of that car on a conventional platform. It's impossible. Not even a transverse front-wheel drive car can be of this proportion, with this amount of power, that is. So it's very liberating. And the amount of space we can create inside is quite extraordinary, actually.
And what would Mr. Lyons say about the way that his cars have evolved into electric creatures as opposed to, you know, smelly, breathing, visceral cats?
I think he would fully approve. I really do. And it's always a point of measure for me. What would the man think? What would Lyons think of this? And I think about that in every car I work on. I think he would fully approve. You know, he was an innovator. You know, and he wasn't nostalgic. I think people get caught up this idea that Jaguar's about nostalgia and it's about something of the past, and it really is not about that. He was not nostalgic. Every car he did was actually very different and very new. The original XJ was a phenomenal car, best in the world. And so he'd look at this and think, yeah, about time.
Great interview. That was a high point. I remember that very fondly. But in terms of shared experiences particularly, I really enjoyed recording at the British Grand Prix a few years ago when the three of us were there. The British Grand Prix at Silverstone and recorded a show over a couple of days. I'm not quite sure how much of this Richard will recall. He may have been a little bit impaired for some of the recording, as I recall.
This was...
It didn't seem to be, you know, hurting your enjoyment of the occasion, I have to say. So that's... Another very fond
memory. It was Virgin, wasn't it? Virgin had an F1 team.
Yeah.
And there was a Virgin-sponsored campsite. Was that where we were staying?
That's right. We stayed in the playing fields of Stowe School, where Virgin, and later Marussia, took it over. And there was some vibe, if I remember, that one of the Virgin drivers could potentially be DJing.
That's
later
it. Yes, it's coming back to me now. But... the backstory to, I think, the bit of audio that Zog's remembering better than I will is that you two had been, I guess, watching qualifying on the other side of Silverstone and said, we'll meet you at the campsite. I'd been doing some work for Five Live. And then I got to the campsite and you were still busy or watching. I can't remember whatever reason, but there was a bar and I was like, well, I'll just have a drink then.
I've got nothing else to do.
And I think there were a couple of people there that I knew were there for a bit, so I wasn't drinking alone, but I was drinking. And then they left and I went, well, I might as well carry on drinking. So by the time you two turned up, I was absolutely wazzered.
Virgin have attempted to sort of bridge that gulf between Formula One and the fans by arranging a campsite and a bit of a party to which we were invited. It's good, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely, I'm having a great time. And it's good to actually have a bit of an experience here at the British Grand Prix, which is, you know, in a small way, it's just, you know, reminding a bit of that Le Mans experience that we love, of spending more time than just the race itself and, you know, there being a bit of a party atmosphere. No, who wouldn't like that?
It's wonderful to be able to hang out with a bunch of people and make jokes
about Timo Glock DJing and for them to actually get what you're talking about. Because that's mooted, Richard, isn't it? You know about this.
Well, yeah, I know about it because you told me about it.
But... it's a rumour that you've started, Gareth.
Exactly. I think this is coming entirely from you. I don't believe that Timo Glock is on the wheels of steel. He has enough trouble with the wheels of carbon fibre and aluminium. So why would he want to go and DJ? I don't know. We've talked about this before, possibly on the programme. I don't know. I always get reality and audio mixed up. But that Timo Glock has a massively Germanic taste in music. And the fact is, I can't think of any German artist apart from Kraftwerk, who obviously we love and respect.
Very much, yes.
And Nina, absolutely, who we're kind of indifferent about. And then, I don't know, Rammstein.
You might be indifferent.
Who, what
she's lovely.
What, in 1984 she was.
Come on, we've got to have Neu as well.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there are
Einstein and Neubauten as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I should explain
the Krupps
that.
Also,
Krupps also. It's been mooted that Timo Glock is going to do a DJ set at some point over the
Ulrich
weekend.
Ulrich Schnaus, if we could also.
Ulrich Schnaus.
Okay, that's enough.
Timo Glock is going to do a DJ set, and at the same time, I gather that Al Gashwari is going to do a reflective set of acoustic numbers on guitar.
Classical Spanish guitar.
It's also a little known fact that Jensen Button plays a mean nose flute. And other things that we're just making up, because it's not going to happen. This Timo Glock rumour, I've only just realised it now that Zog's pointed it out. You've made this up. It can't possibly be true.
You were also very grumpy.
You were well lubricated.
I remember you being very grumpy about camping.
And yes.
You brought your big inflato bed.
Yes.
And were adamant that you weren't going to use a port-a-loo or something. That's what I remember.
I was grumpy about camping.
Yeah. Reasonably enough, to be fair, there are many reasons to be grumpy about camping.
And yeah, I bought an inflatable mattress, but it needed a mains socket to inflate, and we had to go and ask someone in a camper.
Yeah.
And then the next morning I was even more grumpy because I had a headache and I'd been woken at sort of 5:30 a.m. by the first of the helicopters coming in. And then I discovered that my inflato mattress, I'd forgotten that it had to be plugged into the mains to deflate as well. And seriously considered just taking a knife to it. Before you rather rationally and calmly went, Richard, let's just go and see the nice people in the camper and they will let you use their main socket again, which is what happened before I had a petulant knife attack on an inflatable mattress. Yes, I remember that. That was good fun.
It was.
We did a number of trips to Silverstone over the years, some with Virgin, Marussia, a couple possibly, certainly one with Renault. Zog, do you remember going up in... We went up in a Lotus Elise, and we stayed in a very posh hotel with ING, who were sponsors of the Renault team at
the time. I remember that.
And
it was the year... Wasn't it the year of Nelson
Piquet
Jr. doing dodgy things at the Singapore Grand Prix?
It was. That hadn't. I don't think that had happened yet. I think that was about to happen, but it was certainly in his tenure alongside Alonso. In the Renault, when it was a Renault.
Gareth Jones on speed at the British Grand Prix! Great!
To describe the place that we're in now, it really is a veritable oasis of greenery and finery and champagne and reasonably good music in the background, actually, as well.
That's true. Well, yeah, I mean, we've got lovely grass underfoot here.
And it's not soggy.
We're being force-fed strawberries at every opportunity.
That is when we're not eating melon or almonds or drinking champagne or free beer or the excellent espresso.
Well, I have to say, that was an excellent lunch that Renault supplied us with. Quite delicious.
I think we should be rubbing this in. We should take a more journalistic approach.
This is a flavour. You know, we're giving a flavour of what it's like, and you know, we had a very good lunch. There's no avoiding it. It's so clean. Anytime anyone leaves a glass or a cup lying around, it's not going to stay there until the end of the weekend. It gets cleared up immediately.
Yeah.
It's just lovely. It's just a lovely, lovely way to enjoy a race weekend.
Let's see if we can describe what we're in here. It's effectively a kind of elongated diamond shape. That is probably
I don't know. What is that? A quarter of a kilometre long or something?
Oh, blimey. I was going to say, is it the size of a football pitch?
Usually.
By the whatever the SI unit is.
It's a length of 400 Labradors, if we use the standard James Allen unit, I think.
The length of 400 Labradors. There you go. It's partly carpeted and partly grassy.
Where it's carpeted, it's also got really good drainage as well. So if it does chuck it down this weekend, which it could conceivably do, although it's been really, really nice up to now, I don't think this carpet's going to get soggy. I think it'll drain away. They've thought of everything, haven't they?
I think you're probably right. And we're sitting on some very comfy little mini leather sofas, which are scattered around the grass.
You said a nice thing about the furniture earlier on here, that the furniture here is better than the furniture. Not in your home or my home, but most people's homes.
It's true. No, there's lovely white leather sofas in the little tent in the middle there, the little marquee. You can probably hear there's a DJ playing in the marquee, so the music in the background is Mr. DJ.
And it's kicking, actually. It's quite cool. I'm quite enjoying the tunes. The way they've got this place laid out, they have, along the four sides of the diamond, you have each of the teams or the sponsors own, for want of a better word, restaurant. I mean, to call them marquees is doing them down. They've got hardwood floors, stainless steel, highly polished frames, monitors, giant plasma screens absolutely everywhere. Staff who, like Zog says, clear up after you and bring you drinks constantly. But in the centre of the diamond is what they call the Paddock Club Entertainment Lounge, I think they call it, don't they? Which is where the DJ is, more plasma screens, a central bar, some video games which you can sit in simulators of Formula One cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you say video game, but there's a proper race car tub there with a video screen just in front of the cockpit, so you can sit in a real cockpit and pretend you're actually out there on the circuit. Of course, everyone's driving around Silverstone, probably getting quite competitive about it.
Best bits.
I remember going to Silverstone in the winter to do some stuff at testing as well, and that promoted a line in a song that I wrote for On Speed, that Silverstone Summer. There's a line in there which says, "Testing at Silverstone can be testing."
Yeah,
it was so cold.
Silverstone in the winter, it's a bleak place.
Silverstone in the summer's a bleak place.
It's true. I was thinking about other stuff from the archives that, you know, enjoyed doing or I would enjoy listening back to, and I was thinking about some of those sort of late nights of suddenly having an idea for a sketch or a little bit of music or something. And do you remember there was the context, I suppose, was that Jenson Button hadn't really been winning anything. And we came up with, on the spot, this short little song that maybe was the sort of prelude to a sketch. I can't really remember the tune, but it went, Jenson, your car is not competitive.
Definitely.
Hey, I'm Jenson Button, and you're listening to Gareth Jones on Speed, definitely.
I feel a bit sick. My car is not quick. I wish I was driving for Frank. At least I'd have more cash in the bank. F1 is becoming a pain. It's ages since I sprayed champagne. It's no fun walking back to the pit, but it's less fun racing in a pile of Jenson, your car isn't competitive.
Definitely.
Jenson, your excuses are repetitive.
Definitely.
Split up with Louise, that was weird. Jenson, what the heck's going on with that beard? Your car is off the pace and we're getting bored. Frankly, you'd be faster in a Honda Accord.
Definitely.
And so it went on, and then I think that show went out, and the next weekend or something, the bastard went and won a race, and we went, oh no!
And we had to rewrite the song.
So it was Jenson, your car is now competitive.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's it. It was, I'm on top of the world. I'm literally covered in girls.
That's it.
That was the re-recorded version. I can't remember what the original one was, but. Actually, in fact, a general happy memory is of you. And me doing, didn't we do? Because I think I used to do the Jenson Button impression.
You did.
Sort of slightly.
Doing the West Country
sort of thing. A little bit in the throat. And definitely. And then We'd never done anything in front of an audience before, certainly not sketches. And then at the live show in Islington,
yeah,
we recorded a sketch,
yeah,
with you as Lewis Hamilton,
yeah,
and me as Jensen Button. I think that you weren't in this, I think, but
it was something to do with
being on a canal boat. Jensen's, yeah, bought a new yacht. I can't remember the context, as it was he out of F1 at that point, so he had to downgrade his ambitions, and his yacht was now a canal boat. And but doing a sketch in front of a live audience, and thank God the jokes generally hitting home, yeah, enough that people politely laughed, yeah, was a wonderful experience. Something I'd not really done before. I'd always listened to other people doing my jokes and hoping they landed. So it was quite nerve wracking.
Hey, Jensen, man, wiki wiki wow, are you?
So, yes. Thanks for coming over to my new yacht.
Yeah, boy. But hey, gents, this totally new yacht, it's like narrower than normal.
Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah.
It's like a real narrow boat.
Yeah, that's
right. And this isn't Monte Carlo, is it?
No, it's the Shropshire Union. Times are hard, mate. What can I tell you?
Well, Jensen, man, I envy you, brother. Wiki, wiki, wah, wah.
What? You envy me? For what? You've got the girls, you've got the cars. I'm separated and my company car is a Honda Jazz.
Yeah! Totally. I saw it outside, man. Like, one to the two.
Oh, it's a 1.3, actually.
See, the thing is, Jensen, boy, you got something I ain't got.
Well, like, one of those windy things you used to open canal locks.
Nah, man.
Is it an ornately painted watering can on the roof of your yacht?
No, boy.
Is it a bearded Spanish man in the room at the front of your yacht who won't stop sobbing?
I wonder what that noise was.
Yeah, he's very sad.
I thought he was depressed, geese. Humanol.
Lewis, you're world champion, mate. You got everything. Unless you want this 1989 map of waterside pubs in the Staffordshire area, I got nothing for you.
You ain't getting it, man. This is something I had once, but I lost a long time ago. I wish I still had it like you, man.
Lewis, seriously, what have I got that you haven't?
Your original accent.
Oh, yeah. Shall I put the kettle on?
Yeah, boy, wicked.
Maybe I could make us a couple of sandwiches using this very cheap sliced white bread.
Hashtag sunblessed. Steph Mitchell! It felt like doing a sketch show where, you know, the character walks in and they've got a catchphrase.
Like, yes, like Norm in Cheers.
Yeah, and I seem to remember there was something like the conversation went, oh, hello, Lewis Hamilton. And I went, yeah, boy, or something like, yeah, that. And the room got it straight away, which was great. Like
But so I thought about that. And also, and this takes on a sad tinge now, but when Michael Schumacher was still, you know, in F1, I think at this point, and we did a whole little jingle as a prelude to a sort of At Home with the Schumachers sketch.
We did, yes.
Which I remember it sort of being like 2 a.m. and we were all singing along to get this kind of German oompa effect of some sort, which... and I can't remember the words to that, but... Schumacher,
that's
sort
right,
of the gist of it. And things like that. But these are all side things. I was thinking, you know, right back. And what I was thinking about was actually before I started doing On Speed, and you'd, I think, message me, and then you'd come into the old White City building and into the Top Gear office,
yeah,
to come and say hi,
yeah,
because you like Sniff Petrol.
Yeah, I had a meeting with Top Gear about something. They were looking for presenters, and I was working at White City on a BBC programme at the time, another BBC programme, and I got invited to go and meet the producer at the time. As we walked through the production office, I think I saw a Sniff Petrol screensaver on a computer. And I said, oh, Sniff Petrol, I love Sniff Petrol. And whoever I was meeting with said to me, well, that's Richard Porter, who sits here, runs Sniff Petrol. So I wrote a little yellow sticky note with my phone number on it for to say I'm a big fan and get us in touch. And then,
I came into the office, because I wasn't in the office that day. I came in the next day and someone came in to see you yesterday. I was like, did they? Yeah, it was Gaz Top. What? Oh, right, yeah, okay. And then I guess that's how we got in touch. But then, right. The reason I bring this up is because then I probably... You said, I've got this podcast, would you want to come and be a guest on it? And I think I listened to the show and I heard the bit of music that you composed, Zog, out of noises from your Porsche.
For the Le Mans, yeah, it's good.
It's called Techno Park, that piece of music. It is called
Techno Park, right, yeah, well remembered.
But I remember listening to it and going, I've never heard anything like this. These guys are doing something that I've not heard before. I mean, I'd never even heard of podcasts before, truth be told.
Neither had I, and I was making one.
But when I listened to it, and I was like, well, this is very inventive. I like the cut of their jib. And so that little Porsche tune thing, soundscape, whatever you call it, was a real sort of, I was like, interesting. So that, for me, was a, you know, way back from the archives, little moment from the podcast.
That piqued your interest.
Piqued, that's what it did. It piqued my interest.
Well, you joined us at episode 3 as a guest, but by episode 4 you were part of the team.
Was that? I couldn't have told you that.
Yeah, and that was 2005, I believe. And then you hung around until 2020, I think you left. I think.
Well, yeah, it was COVID, wasn't
it? Just before COVID you left, but then you came back on for the anniversary show that we did round about that time. And have reappeared a couple of times since. Thank you very much. Nice to have you back.
Like a bad smell. Do you get weirded out by those coaches that have a low bottom deck?
Yeah.
And you can see the people in them from a car, which normally you can't in a coach, and you suddenly accidentally make eye contact with someone in a rear-facing seat. It always weirds me out. Anyway.
It's a worry.
Yes. Was it... So it's 2005. That would make sense, because I started dating my now wife, and she still lived in the US. And I only found out after a while, quite sweetly, that she used to listen to the podcast just to sort of hear my voice.
Oh.
And then when she moved over here and we moved in together and everything like that, I discovered that she'd sort of stopped listening to the podcast because she was getting quite enough of my voice at home. Thanks very much. Cheers. No need for that now. Tart.
Come on, everybody. Let's have some interesting cars. What interesting cars have we got on the M4 on the way out to Slough-ish? Right now, what have we seen?
It's actually been a bit of a...
bit drab, isn't it?
A bit drab, yeah.
Looking at Golfs, Hyundais, older Hyundai. You know, I've forgotten how to say it. Is it Hyundai? Hyundai?
Oh, it changes. Hyundai. It changes. They keep switching it just to mess with us.
Yeah, it's a good strategy. You were talking about them. What's that? Grandland. That one there.
Yeah. Nothing to write home about.
Look at the wheels in rotation. Look how nice they look in rotation.
Well, it has got... that's got to be an up-spec one, because that's got some sort of chromey outer and then darkened inner alloy on it. But a Ford Fiesta van with a scaffolding company name down the back, down the side, not going to get much scaff in that. Maybe it just transports the little clippy things they use.
I only do bungalows.
Yes. If you just need to get something off a high shelf, that's the kind of scaffolding we do.
Oh, yes.
We'll get it out of the Fiesta.
Short-term scaffolding. I believe they used to use those... what are they called? So electric quadricycles that we saw a few minutes ago.
A G-Wiz.
A G-Wiz.
We did see a G-Wiz. That's a rarity now, thankfully.
They help people like, I don't know, Peter Dinklage get auditions for gigs where they wouldn't normally get considered. Very good. Small step up. Very important.
How far are we now from our destination?
From 13 minutes.
Good. I ask this only because I kind of need a wee.
Now, interestingly, my chosen destination is also 13 minutes away by bison.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Have you got 7.7 miles?
I've got 7.4 miles. Mm. Have you got a name of a road?
I do.
Can you tell me?
Sure. We are heading, by my count, for... hang on.
This is great. I'm looking forward to this.
Oops, hang on. Banbury Avenue.
Okay, that's not where we're on.
Oh.
No?
I want you to navigate me to Banbury Avenue first, and then we'll finish at my place.
Okay, we're heading for 714 Banbury Avenue.
Okay.
And we want to proceed along the M4 until Junction 6. Then we are taking the exit for Slough Central and Windsor.
Roger that. Junction 6. Now, Richard, how bursting are you? Do we need
We're not at DEFCON. Okay. Wet patch, yeah.
They've got wet patch.
We're okay. I'm just flagging it because if you went, we're at least 2 hours away, yeah, I'd have to say no.
Yeah.
We need to make a pit stop. But that's okay.
Over the sky, it's so oppressive, isn't it?
Now, again, this is the most boring bit of my building trivia yet. That building there we're passing just off the M4 was
the airport hotel?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's an office. Well, it is an office. It certainly was an office because that is, I think, where Honda UK moved when they moved out of Power Road in Chiswick. I don't know where they've gone now.
Hey, where has Honda gone now? Right, people over 50 buy Hondas, don't they?
It's a good question. Just yes. And funny, if it's one of the things when my wife moved over here from the US, she was sort of slightly confused that more people we know didn't own Hondas, because she was like, everyone in the US has had a Honda at some point in their life.
Yeah.
A lot of people's first car was a Civic. And a lot of people then, you know, have moved up Accord and then they'll maybe treat themselves to an Acura, but like her sister did, for example. And she was an Acura loyalist for years. And she was just like, where are the Hondas here? Well, they're just sort of, meh. Although, look, there's a Civic, there's a Spaceship Civic we're just coming up on now. So yeah. Proves I'm talking
on
shit.
On its way back to Swindon, that was one of the 3,000 people who work there are now unemployed and can't afford
like a homing
to change their car
engine,
from 2019.
You know, you get that thing where areas are loyal to the cars that are made there. So, you know, you always got a lot of Austins and then MGs and Rovers in later days in Birmingham. A lot of Nissans in the northeast, Toyotas around Derby. And it is noticeable, I think, because I'm not that far from Swindon and from the sort of greater Wiltshire area. Look at all those birds. Geese, swans, what the bloody hell are they? Geese.
Very low flying, huge number of geese.
A cloud of geese. You do notice a lot of Hondas around the sort of greater Swindon area. Still people with the residual loyalty / bought one on a staff discount.
Yeah, exactly.
Or friends and family discount, I imagine, applied. Certainly did with other car companies.
Hey, but how are you enjoying the soft French suspension of my car?
It's very comfortable. I can say the greatest compliment I can pay you is that I haven't noticed the ride, I haven't noticed any bumps. And we've just driven through central and outer London, where the roads are generally quite cack.
Yeah, this is very floaty, this car, very comfy.
I'm also admiring the fact you've got the sort of, effectively, a bench front seat.
Yeah, that's right. This armrest folds up out of the way. There's a little bit of leather that connects.
Extra 1.5 width.
Yeah.
It's a separate thing. I thought, okay.
Two fat people could share this, but you couldn't put someone sitting there because their feet would get in the way of the pedals, unfortunately.
Okay, I think we're going to want the next exit.
Oh, right, okay.
Exit 6.
Stand by. Let me get past this. Oh, hang on. Right, a late call. We're good.
At the roundabout, we're going to be going right.
Roger that.
Directions, for Slough Central and Windsor.
What are the chances of Zog and I both choosing somewhere Sloughish? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Should we explain, for listeners overseas perhaps, that Slough is a town on the outskirts of London, essentially, isn't it? It's sort of, I would say, a medium-sized town sometimes the butt of jokes for sort of just being a very ordinary commuter town slash a place where companies have their headquarters if they don't want to spring for the full-on London HQ. And it's on the M4 motorway, which is the major artery out of London to the west. It's where the UK version of The Office was set, and perfectly so. It's that kind of town where there's a lot of offices for medium-sized companies doing necessary but not glamorous work, I would say. Is that unfair? There's a sign for the Slough Trading Estate, and in many ways Slough is summed up by its trading estates.
I think that's...
And my chosen destination is or was on an industrial estate.
Of course it was.
Whether it's still an industrial estate, I'm not sure. I guess we're going to find out.
How exciting!
Okay, 800 feet, you want to turn onto the A355.
You're on the right. You're in the right lane.
It goes both ways. Left or right?
Left.
Oh, beg your pardon. Sorry, left. I'll shut up.
No.
I saw the A355 sign over there.
This is the bearing left rather than veering left.
Now I don't know if Fiat. I don't think Fiat's still based here because of Stellantis, but this is where Ferrari UK has its headquarters. Ironically, not far off the A355. And it's, in fact, Ferrari UK is based on a trading estate. I'm starting to think all of Slough is a trading estate.
I think a fair bit of it is or was trading estates. Okay, so we're proceeding along this road, which is Chippenham Road, for another mile and a half. And then we're at Banbury Avenue, our destination. So
wow,
keep going. Okay.
Is Banbury Avenue on the left or the right?
Yeah, it will be on the left.
On the left, thank you.
Okay, so sorry not to labour this, but here are a few more Slough facts or Slough facts.
Yeah, I can give you one.
Famous people from Slough.
Gary Newman.
Oh,
cars.
Haven't got down to him yet. I've got Tracy Ullman.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah, she's also a Sloughist.
This says Jimmy Carr's from Slough.
I didn't know that.
And Billy Smart, the circus man.
Really?
So it says.
Wow.
Oh, and hey, Gerry Anderson of Thunderbirds fame.
Is he from Slough?
Well, now, was Thunderbirds not made in an industrial unit on a trading estate in Slough? Because when they finished that show, they chucked all the puppets and shit into a skip outside a industrial unit, I think. Is that the story?
Yeah, lots of things were thrown away and lots of stuff was harvested. Most of it was utterly destroyed. They didn't have the storage space. They just got through it, I believe. Yeah.
This says that Isambard Kingdom Brunel was from Slough.
Oh, well, he's in the right direction to build his railways and his big vehicles.
Jerry Halliwell? Born
really?
Here. I thought she was from Watford. Gary Newman, born 1958.
Yeah. Did you know that Gary Newman is actually older than Gary Oldman? By 7 days. Seven days younger than Gary Oldman.
This is the world turned upside down.
Speaking of Gary Oldman, I have to mention, I saw a Gary Oldman thriller a couple of weeks ago that was so, so much worse than you would ever think a film with Gary Oldman in could be. Yeah. Killers Anonymous.
No.
Do not ever watch this film.
Oh, really?
Unless you want to see just how badly made an actual film that gets released and has some, you know, recognisable names in it can be.
I mean,
so bad.
If Gary Oldman can't lift a movie, then it really is bad. Surely.
I mean, no, it's an absolute stinker. So, I mean, it's so bad that, within, I think, 45 seconds of it starting, you know, I had a very strong feeling that this was an extremely poor piece of work.
So this isn't our road on the left here. What's it called again?
We've got another half mile.
Another half mile.
We're looking at Banbury Avenue. We've got at least another couple of major junctions.
Banbury Avenue. I keep wanting to say Pro Drive out loud when everyone says Banbury.
Rock down to Banbury Avenue.
Yeah.
Then we'll find out why.
Pro Drive have got something, they announced something recently. They're developing a platform, aren't they? An electric car platform or something?
Oh, everyone's doing that. Are they? I can't remember now. They were doing. Did they do a little van?
Someone did a little van, didn't they?
A local last mile van, yeah.
That's it. Thank you, I'd forgotten. Big Mercedes-Benz dealership.
balloons. Look, well, I love the fact that the car trade still thinks that helium balloons attract customers, as if everyone who's buying a car is six.
We've got loads of helium balloons in a bloody Merc showroom.
To be fair, we did all just go, ooh, balloons.
No, it's a fair point. I did go, ooh, balloons, a little too excited. That. Nice balloons. I mean, they're posh balloons. No, they're Merc balloons. They're not, not just any old tap.
They're balloons that have just the right colour, that they sort of, they look a little bit like, you know, Quality Street colours.
I was
like...
just thinking the same thing.
They do look like Quality Street wrappers, don't they? Inflated and floating.
The purple one that no one really
purple
wants.
And gold. Oh, yeah, that's one of those. Oh, just that orange cream there and one of those. Yeah.
Zog, don't give away where we're going in a few well, a few minutes, I guess.
We're going to know very soon.
But does it have a loo?
you know, let's hope so.
Yes, for my sake. Like,
I'm sure
it'll be okay. I will.
I'm sure we'll be able to. I'm sure you'll be able to relieve yourself. I'm sure we can work something.
One of Slough's many trading estates, the Tracy Ullman trading estate, just next to the Gary Newman Light Industrial Centre.
Gary Newman still touring?
Yeah.
And still producing some good new music.
Yeah,
it sounds
very good.
I'm really very impressed by how well he's kept his creativity and career going. Okay, it's going to be in a couple of roads. Not the neck. Okay, there should be... Not at these lights.
Straight over?
It'll be, straight over here, and then the next road but one.
We just passed the Slough Audi dealership.
Sloughdy?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
It should have been called Sloughdy. Right.
Okay, not this next one, which is Oxford Avenue.
Okay.
We are now...
This is quite industrial.
Here we go, Oxford Avenue.
Not that one.
Next road should be Banbury Avenue. Yeah, so this is, we are in a, you know...
We are in an industrial estate.
Here
we go, this one.
Left, here you go.
Here we go.
Make a left here.
Yeah. Banbury Avenue.
Look at those buildings. They're exactly
now, hang
right.
on a sec. I recognise these buildings.
Do you now?
I think I do.
Okay.
I'm not going to say, but about, I think I do.
About 50 yards or so.
Yeah.
At 709, 710. And we're looking for 714 to 715.
712.
Okay, should we be right here?
Yeah, okay.
713.
No, 713.
So, that one?
I think we can pull up right outside CineLab.
CineLab?
So what is CineLab?
Intriguing.
Right.
CineLab now.
Okay, right.
I've got a theory, Zog.
Okay.
Right, give me those headphones and let's step outside. Oops. Bring your cameras, boys. This is very exciting. Where has Zog brought us on our tragical car history tour?
So, this should be the 714 to 715 Banbury Avenue. This is the location of the former JW Automotive Engineering and formerly Ford Advanced Vehicles.
This is where the GT40 was developed.
This is where some of the GT40 was developed because, of course, what happened, John Wire of JW Automotive is a huge figure in the history of endurance racing, Le Mans, the GT40, the Porsche 917, all of that wonderful early history of Gulf-sponsored sports cars winning at Le Mans. John Wire is behind so much of that. Yeah, John Wire was doing the early development of the GT40 at Ford Advanced Vehicles. They then, of course, gave the project to Carroll Shelby, who actually turned the GT40 into a winning car, which Wire had not actually managed to do. But then he and John Wire and his partner bought out, or they took over Ford Advanced Vehicles and set up JW Automotive on the same premises. That's where we are now. And that's where they ran their... They then carried on building GT40s for Ford.
They were built in here.
They were built here. Yeah, they were built here. And then shortly after that, they switched over to the Porsche 917. And I guess they were working on them rather than
putting them together. They would built in Germany, and then they were running the team out of here. And JW Automotive were carrying on until John Wire retired in, I think, 1976. That's the history that we care about. That's what we've all loved over the years and what we connect with. So, yeah, we are right here at where a significant bit of endurance sports car history was written.
How is it possible that one of arguably the coolest cars ever to exist was born on a trading estate in Slough?
Because I think that it's often true to say that significant things happen in insignificant places. You know, this is a very, very innocuous building on a trading estate, now dwarfed by a big warehouse.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. But I love these buildings here. This kind of rise and fall. It's pure 1950s suburban trade estate. It's genuinely cool.
They wouldn't build them like this anymore, would they?
No. I bet there's paint specialists here somewhere. Oh, yeah, paints, and number 407. Yeah.
If you need a very specific bit for your boiler, because your boiler is quite old, it's probably places like this that there'll be a company that has it.
Here in Slough.
Here in Slough.
Yeah, and no matter where you live in the world, it will be here in Slough. CineLab.
The UK's only full-service film laboratory and digital dailies facility. Wow, the UK's only.
Only digital dailies. Within reach of Shepperton here, I suppose, aren't we?
Well, I suppose. Not many people are shooting on film anymore.
Who does shoot on film these days?
Christopher Nolan.
And he's about the only one, isn't he?
I'm just trying to talk about whether these are actually the original buildings or not.
I would say these are. That brick is late 50s, early 60s. That particular colour of sandstone, I know that, because that was the colour of the house my dad built in 1962. And, all bricks of that period, and window sizes were kind of fairly standard. I bet these are the original buildings.
Yeah, the roof looks period, doesn't it?
Home of the GT40. Zog, you've made it for me. That's great.
Well, I'm glad that we hadn't picked the same one.
What are the chances of that?
One thing, JW Automotive, although it was John Wire's firm, the JW doesn't actually stand for John Wire. It's the W was for his partner, I believe, was something like John Wilmont or Willamont. I'd always assumed that JW was for John Wire, of course.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
He's the name that you associate with the team. He's the, you know, he's the one guy you read about. But the JW was for his partner, not him.
You found some with a convenient lavatory, I hear.
I did, yes.
Yeah, very convenient. Should we go to our final destination?
I think we should.
I'm intrigued, yeah.
Me too.
Which, curiously, is dangerously close to where we are right now. Get in the car.
Gareth Jones on Spirit Jones.
Right then. The destination is still in the sat-nav. Richard, you have to hold the record east and the headphone. Because we're going to be there in 5 minutes. So let's do this in real time and have the last bit of the programme in real time. Here we go. Glasses on. Do you like my crazy hand brake?
I do.
They make a crazy hand brake in this car, and it's actually very practical. It's fine. I don't know if it works any better or any worse than a conventional one, but it works perfectly fine.
I find myself wondering, Zog,
yes,
as we drive away from that building, whether they would occasionally get the GT40 out of the workshop that they were working on and give it a little zizz up and down this road. I bet they did.
Just to clear its throat.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's a yard. You can see a yard at the back of that building. But it wasn't big enough to run a car at any speed in, so, you know.
Big enough to do a donut in, though.
But look, you've got these roads, probably quite quiet, particularly in those days, because these buildings, I'm guessing, these are quite new, aren't they? So have a little...
Razz.
I'm going to say 100% that the informal testing.
And what sound did a GT40 make? Brow! Yeah, it was an angry sound, wasn't it?
No, I think the whole of Slough would have vibrated slightly to the sound of a shakedown test happening on these streets. But yeah, you've got quite the private little quiet back streets here. So,
but it's nice to have good, wonderful bit of racing history. Just on the edge of West London here.
I forgot to tell you my favourite moments from Gareth Jones on Speed over the years. I've had many. The gig, as you know, 10 years on Speed, putting the band together to sing our songs was incredible for me. Getting access to people like Lewis Hamilton and Jenson Button has been fantastic. I really value that. But I think it changes. There are two very, very key moments. One was when I got one of my absolute number one heroes of all time on the programme. I had Don Powell from Slade on the show, and he told me the story of his terrible car crash during Slade's peak in the 70s. I've got to talk about the Bentley.
Yeah.
Because as a Slade fan, many people who aren't Slade fans will know what a dreadful situation you found yourself in July 73.
Yeah, July 4th. American Independence Day, 73.
Where you survived a fatal accident that killed Angie.
My girlfriend at the time, yeah.
Near Wolverhampton on the N6.
It was on the Compton Road. It was from the centre of Wolverhampton, and it was the road towards where I lived in Wolverhampton. I lived on the outskirts of Wolverhampton, had an apartment there. On the Compton Road was the road from the centre of Wolverhampton to where my apartment was.
Yeah. How did that change your attitude to driving at that point?
It didn't, actually. I was surprised, because also the surgeon who was looking after me at the time, it was him as well, who said, you've got to get back to playing drums, he says, and you've got to get back to driving.
Is that right?
He said, otherwise you never will.
Right.
You know, I must tell you, Gaz, the last thing I felt like doing was playing drums.
Oh, really?
But it was the best advice I've ever had.
Because you couldn't even remember
how the songs
started.
The songs, but they used to carry me on stage and put me on my drums and carry me off when we finished. But they used to play these tricks, or when we finished, they used to leave me there. So the show had finished, because I couldn't move, because I had really poorly legs, you know. I couldn't get off the drums myself, and they used to leave me there, sods.
No, whether you were a driver, you were at least mobile and independent then.
Yeah. And that was okay, like you said as well, Gaz. I mean, I wasn't sort of nervous or not ready to go driving again, because, like I think I've mentioned before, I don't remember the car accident.
Right.
I've got no idea.
Right.
And when I saw this brain specialist on one tour in America, and he was arranging me to go and see him, and he did quite a few tests on me, and he said, you never will remember it.
Really?
He said, it's just the way the brain, he said, it's like the most complex computer you could ever think of. He said, what's happened? He said, it happens to a lot of people. It switched off just at the point of impact, and it'll switch back on when he's ready. And it's incredible, isn't it, really?
It's a kind thing.
It is fantastic. And the surgeon said to me, what do you want to remember for? Which is right, you know.
And that accident, we've got to be talking about cars, but the effect of that accident left your memory damaged and your sense of smell for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the sense of smell and taste is gone forever. You know, because when I had a fractured skull, and I was all smashed up, and like they said, they were trying to keep me alive. He said, the thing like the sense of smell and taste is like the nerves in the bridge of the nose. He said, they wouldn't even bother with that. He said, they'd be trying to keep you alive.
Yeah. Glad you're here.
And that's too right.
You know, getting Don Powell on the programme was massive for me personally. But I think in terms of achievement for the programme, the best episode ever, I can't remember the episode number, but it was when I drove up to Harlech in North Wales in a Ford Focus and then met Richard Parry Jones, who used to be the head of Ford Motor Company, a Welshman from Bangor in North Wales. And not only did he give me time, he gave me a great interview. In fact, yeah, you want to hear it? Here it is. Hear a little bit of this now. This is my time with Richard Parry Jones. I'd love to hear your impressions of the new Focus. It's come a long way, and it's, what are we, fourth generation now. Do you like the way the car's evolved?
Yeah, I do. I think, obviously, with the first Focus, we made such a huge change.
Yes.
I sometimes hanker for more boldness.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think it's very elegant, and certainly I think the new design is quite different from the previous one. Mm-hmm. Especially the front end.
The trapezoidal grille, which has become ubiquitous Ford now, which I always claim was stolen from Aston Martin under your tenure, wasn't it? I mean, that's become a Ford thing.
I would defy anybody to say that looks like Aston Martin grille.
Come on, let's get in the car and do for me this 50-metre test. I don't know, are you insured to drive under your Ford? You are?
Yeah.
You take the keys in, I'm going to sit in the passenger seat.
Before we get in, though...
Okay, all right, before we get in, let me come round there. What?
We must operate the door handle.
Right.
So what I'm looking for here is how much free play is there before you engage the mechanism? And what sound does it make? Listen to that. It's quite damped, not clackety. Put the mic down there.
So it's
quite damped, which is good. The free play may be a bit more than I would look for. Then I'm looking for, how does it feel as you increase the release effort? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
That must be very reassuring for you to know that the Focus is in good hands.
Yes, and then we open the door and we're immediately going to stretch it again. But listen. Oh, nice.
Yes.
See, that lovely thunk.
Yeah.
Soft thunk, no aftershocks, no tinniness.
Yeah.
Lovely, low-frequency, reassuring sound.
You know what? I'd forgotten about that, and I don't know why, because it's one of my favourite episodes, actually. Oh. And to Zog's point earlier about, you know, it's, the ones where you're not in, you can sort of enjoy them more, because and you don't know what's coming. And but, yeah, he was fab. I was on the Mondeo launch and spent some time with Richard Parry-Jones years ago, and he was great, and it was really good to sort of hear him on the show. Being equally fascinating about cars and how they're developed and all the rest of it.
So confident, so knowledgeable. Changed the Ford Motor Company. But the thing about that moment on the show was that he died very shortly after that, not long after that. So that would have been the last bit of media he ever did. And I'm genuinely proud that we managed to snatch that moment briefly in our tenure of 500 programmes so far. That was huge for me. Right then, here we go, boys.
Right.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because we've just driven by a power station. Interesting.
Yeah, yep. We're now down another industrial estate.
Power road to a power station.
Very dark.
I'm going to turn round because it's actually this building on the right here. Sorry, I should have warned you I was going to do that. That was a rapid
Gareth did a sporty change of direction there. And we are. So it's they're building some new stuff
right
on this side, but what's the old stuff here?
Yeah, we are. This building has only just been built because what was here before has relatively recently been knocked down.
So we're here to see the thing that is being built?
No, we're celebrating what was here before. Come and see. Some of you may have already worked this out. I don't know if you have. It's Lock the Killer. Right, this is Stirling Road on Slough Trading Estate.
It's all a trade.
Does anything sound less glamorous than that? But for me, personally, right here, where this building is now, this is a huge, noisy building. You can hear the air cooling happening from the side. But there used to be a building there. And let's move out of the road because there's a car coming. There used to be a building there until just, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago, it was knocked down and replaced with this one, whatever it is. But for me personally, the whole reason I'm interested in cars and vehicles, I think, stems from what used to be right here. They were called AP Film Studios. And then they were rebranded after a couple of years when one of the properties that was made at this property became the biggest thing that this little production company had ever done. And they were rebranded Century 21 Studios.
Who made all of the Gerry Anderson... Thunderbirds, Fireball XL5...
Supercar, Stingray, Captain Scarlet, UFO, Space 99. Up until UFO, it was all made here. Captain Scarlet, I think, may have been, or the Secret Service may have been the last one that they made here. They shot a lot of that in Pinewood as well. They used the studios in the UFO, they used Pinewood.
But, Joe 90 as well.
Right, but Joe 90, of course. But right here is where some of the coolest cars and vehicles in the history of vehicles were invented. Thunderbird 2 was invented here by Derek Meddings, and that was a connection to James Bond earlier on. Because after Thunderbirds, Derek Meddings, who was the special effects director for all of Century 21 Productions, who made all the Gerry Anderson puppet series and some of the live action, he went on to do models, miniatures they call them, for the movies, largely for James Bond and lots of other movies as well. That giant submarine in that, sorry, the giant underwater base, and the tanker that swallows the submarines, that was all Derek Meddings' work. I met Derek Meddings once. I interviewed him once on a documentary for a TV show. It's actually on YouTube. It's called Movie Magic, if you want to see it. I was cock-a-hoop to meet him. That's the man who designed the Shadow Mobile, the SPV, the MSV, the Spectrum saloon car.
And Lady Penelope's pink
Fab One. Designed Fab One.
And you've got to say, I mean, you know, and it was definitely part of what made certainly Thunderbirds work so well, was the hardware design, the design of the vehicles, the aircraft. There was a lot more to it that made those shows work so well. But, you know, thinking about my relationship with shows, you know, why I loved them, how I enjoyed them, and you know, the toys I had, and the way that we, you know, kind of what you kind of play in the playground when you're, you know, playing Thunderbirds or whatever. The vehicle design was important and brilliantly and beautifully done. Really, really wonderfully done.
Brilliantly done. Meddings was an artist, really. He was a fantastic artist. He drew vehicles.
When did those shows start being made here?
The very first one was nearby. You mentioned, you almost stumbled on it, talking about Gerry Anderson being from Slough. I didn't realise he was from Slough. They had a studios on... I'm trying to remember. I think it's called Ipswich Road nearby here, and there was another one called Edinburgh Road where they had an art department. A lot of design was done there, but they made the early stuff. They made, well, in order, Four Feather Falls, Torchy the Batchy Boy, Supercar, and Fireball XL5. They were made at the other location. Then they came here for Stingray, I think, was the first thing. So that would have been 1960. I'm guessing four. I think.
Really, all of those great shows are being conceived and made here. The Ford GT40 was being conceived and made here.
Yeah.
Within what? A mile? Not even a mile of each other at the same time.
Who never knew how cool Slough was?
Never say a harsh word against Slough again. And look what it's given us.
And that is the great revelation of episode 500 of Gareth Jones on Speed, that Slough is actually pretty flipping cool. And Gary Newman's from here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Zocca, thank you for the first 500. Shake your hand.
It's been a pleasure.
And will continue to be, I hope. Richard, lovely to have you back, bro.
Lovely to be here in a side street in Slough at night.
Lovely to be here in Slough.
My natural habitat.
Who thought we'd say that?
But I think we probably earn a drive to a pub and a small pint and maybe a sandwich and a trip to a bathroom.
I'd be up for that.
Yeah. You've been listening to Gareth Jones on Speed, episode 500. He was Zog.
Goodbye.
He was Richard.
Goodbye.
I was Gareth, and I'll leave you with the wind whistling through Slough.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share, and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whizbang.
Gareth Jones on Speed! Episode 500! Wow!